Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Happy Friday, 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. We'll be back on Tuesday. A beautiful morning. We need our sunglasses in the studio today. The sun shining bright over Lake Michigan. Happy to be with you if you're in your commute to end the week. If by chance you are already home or possibly taking the weekend off and already on the road going somewhere nice, we got you. We're riding shotgun. 720 WGN.
You know,
huge show.
You said, this yesterday, and it made me think. You say, in for Steve Cochran.
But I'm always
here. But you're always here.
I know.
So what do I say?
Do I say Steve Cochran's not here?
You say you are doubling up this morning.
Yeah.
There you go, Dave.
For both.
Right. I shifted seats.
Yeah.
I moved over one.
Yeah. Everybody, right. It's like sort of a game of musical chairs.
Yeah. Just all
I move over one. Mary stays in the same chair.
I do. Yeah, I do stay in the same
seat. So do I.
Yeah. Oh, there you go, Mayor.
Just so Dave and I. Dave and I are the ones that move chairs.
Right. So.
Well, yesterday I was in a different studio.
Yeah, so there you go.
So that was fun.
We're all getting different views.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And in Mary's case, no view, right?
Well, now I have a view. I'm back in my old studio, and now I can see. It's great. Well, I can watch my spider all morning.
We're going to have to make some room because Troy Murray's coming in. Troy is going to be the co-host of the program this morning, starting at 7 o'clock. How fun is this? To have Blackhawks, I mean, this is the, you know, you start talking icons. I mean, Troy Murray's up there. As someone who's a Blackhawks fan, you know that name. And of course, the radio broadcast here at 720 WGN. To have him in to talk Blackhawks, to also throw some pepper in some questions on some non-Blackhawks stuff, I'm excited.
He did this with us last year.
Oh, he did.
And actually, we didn't talk any hockey. We just talked politics.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to do.
Troy's a multifaceted guy.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, you know what? There's a lot of politics to talk about today, so why don't we start with the Top 6 at 6?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Top 6 at 6, our first item, is this a news story or a bit of celebrity gossip? The breakup of the century playing out before our eyes. President Trump and his longtime lawyer/fixer, Michael Cohen, are heading to DEFCON 1. Sources are saying that Cohen is looking for a deal and allegedly is offering up the very important information that the Prez was indeed aware of a meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and Russians with dirt on Hillary Clinton. This is the famed meeting in the Trump Tower, June of 2016, which is at the center of collusion allegations. Up to this point, the Prez and has said he knew nothing of this meeting, didn't know about it till a year later. But Cohen says he did. Giuliani was on the shows last night saying Cohen is a pathological liar. And the news story coming out this morning suggests Trump is ready for war against his longtime lawyer. Wow. I guess this is what we expect. And to be honest, you have to be objective because Michael Cohen's trying to cut a deal and he has been part of the Trump propaganda machine. So he knows how to lie. And I don't know. I feel like so you have to. So there may be some merit to what Rudy Giuliani is saying. But then again, this is what happens when you lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. Nobody knows what's the truth or what might be possible. And frankly, as Steve Bannon, we were talking about this right before we came on. Steve Bannon was banished from the White House back to the Vanity Fair article or the Michael Wolff book that came out saying there's no way that when Donald Trump Jr. had that meeting, he didn't walk it right up to the president. He knew all about it. And that ban got him banished from the White House. So it makes you think a little bit and head scratch that, yes, it's probably pretty obvious that the president knew that meeting happened.
And there's obviously, too, with the recording this week from Michael Cohen of the phone call about the Playboy model, you have to wonder if there is audio or videotape of this as well.
They say right now there isn't, but you're absolutely right. At this point, who knows? Who knows? So, yeah, a tremendous story coming out of
White anyone has ever had to deal with a lawyer for anything, in particular like a divorce, I know I have, my husband has, a lot of people I know have, you... a lot of people end up having contentious relationships with their attorneys because you...
At a certain point, you want them to do right by you, but you also have... I mean, you're pretty close in that relationship.
And then you
want
pay them, a lot. Yeah, they know a lot. And so it can turn ugly as this is
ugly, and it's going to play out right in front of all of our eyes. Ugh. The president was in Granite City yesterday talking about his tariff strategy. He used that time to talk about how his tariffs on aluminum and steel single-handedly gave steel jobs back to that town. And he also blamed bad trade deals negotiated in the past by past administrations, past presidents, as not only very bad deals by people... This is my favorite part of this sentence. He said, by people who may or may not love their country.
Yeah.
Let's see if he's going to go to Northeastern Ohio, where General Motors is getting ready to close a plant because of the steel tariffs. Yeah. About 3,000 people are going to lose their jobs.
That's the risk you run when you go in front of a podium for prep rallies or town to town saying that you single-handedly saved a community, because there will be other communities say, well, if we're using that math, you single-handedly destroyed ours. With that being said, I think the idea of him saying that or questioning whether or not past presidents love their countries or love the country of the U.S., that's so strange. Does anyone buy that?
Campaign rhetoric, kind of. You know, like in front of that crowd, though, when he says that everyone, there are a group of supporters, supporters, and they're like, yay, you're right. He loves us and our country.
He loves the country. The other guys didn't. Show us the birth certificate. I mean, we're right back there in this strange way of questioning how much do you love your country? Yeah, you might love it. How much?
That other guy was black. He's white.
Right. That's really what it comes down to. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. $40 million yacht was untied from a dock on Lake Huron, set out to drift, caused damage. Come on, that's lame vandalism.
We're going to untie this.
But it begs the bigger question. The woman in charge of public schooling in this country has a $40 million yacht, and it's on Lake Huron. I'd hate to see what kind of boat she has in the Potomac.
Right.
On Lake Huron, she has a $40 million yacht.
Well, there's more room on Lake Huron than there is
in the Potomac.
On the Potomac, an urban waterway.
It's a lot of work to untie a regular boat, like a speedboat. So I can't imagine what effort went in. That's somebody wasn't paying attention for a really long period
of time. How big was the team?
Because those ropes are gigantic.
This just hires people.
This was like Ocean's 11.
Yeah. Has anyone actually seen the yacht? I wonder if it's painted like a school bus.
And is there a more out of touch, pretentious word than yacht?
No.
I mean, $40 million yacht.
For the education secretary to be having the word yacht associated, not a great look. So wildfires raging in Southern California. They got a man in custody for alleged arson. Oh, gosh, starting fires on purpose? Now, thousands of acres have been scorched. Thousands had to leave the area east of Los Angeles and other parts of SoCal. And that plus the separate fire raging in Northern California right outside the town of Redding. This is devastating for the state of California right now. And it just seems that used to be a fire season, and now it's year-round.
Steve, I think I heard in the news earlier today that in Greece they think those fires were started by someone, too, don't they?
Yeah, there's an investigation of that. Their early indication is that they were set.
They should get... I don't know what the charge is for arson, but when it comes to this kind of mass destruction, it should be a terrorism charge. They should throw the book. I mean, it's amazing right now with where we are with climate change that someone could cause this much despair and this much pain and destruction by lighting a match. That's unheard of.
Over the 4th of July week, a friend of the opening bell who lives in Northern California said that people were, and it's very, very dry there, as you guys have been talking about, were using fireworks. They were celebrating the 4th of July by using fireworks in the dryness. So it's very crazy.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. In entertainment news, the director of the Star Wars film The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson, he preemptively deleted 20,000 tweets, old tweets. This is in response to Disney's firing of James Gunn, the Guardians of the Galaxy director, after it was discovered that he made jokes in bad taste years ago on Twitter. And there's a lot of controversy over Rian Johnson doing this. But Rian Johnson smartly responded saying, what else should I do? Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's one way or the other. Like, you're either going to go through my old tweets. And this is political, because they're going after big Hollywood people who have political opinions. And this is kind of driven for political reasons. And they go through, go through old tweets and try to find things that they said and bring it to the attention now. And that's what happened with James Gunn. He made some terrible jokes when he wasn't the Guardians of the Galaxy director, when he was an up-and-coming comic or rabble-rouser.
what is incredible to me is that he had 20,000 to delete. Do you know how many tweets you've tweeted, Justin, in your career?
No.
I can tell you.
I don't even know. I'm not that prolific of a Twitter.
8,533 tweets.
So I can't do 20,000.
So you couldn't even delete 20,000 if you wanted.
And there's a question, too, about whether or not they're actually fully deleted.
Right.
Because the Internet Archive, you can go back and find.
Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar actually wrote a great column, I think it was in Hollywood Reporter, about this idea that if you're going to go back and you're going to judge people who on what they did 10, 15, 20 years ago and then fire them for what their job is now, you know, for Disney, there's an irony, there's an oxymoron there because they have been, you know, think of the 50s and 60s and even earlier, the racist, homophobic style of work that they did. And they'll be the first to tell you at Disney, oh, we've changed. We've evolved as a company. So how this company is the one that is judging someone who said something on Twitter 10 years ago and not judging themselves for what they did much bigger platform with early cartoons is a head scratcher as well.
Dave Ennett's only tweeted 3,900 times. Steve Grzanich, you've tweeted 70,000 times.
I've got about 20 I could do.
Yeah, you could delete. Yeah.
I think I win. I'm about 35-ish.
There you go. You can go right through it, Mary, and easily get a bottle of wine. Just delete, yeah. And be done in 20 minutes.
I'm stress-free.
Yeah, you're stress-free. And finally, Cole Hamels coming to the Cubs. Good trade to send nobody minor leaguers to the Rangers for former All-Star left-hander Hamels. He was a star of the Phillies.
That's not really fair to call them nobodies. Well, families. Yeah, they have moms.
I don't mean that personally. I mean the fact that you didn't. I mean, the Cubs didn't lose anything. They didn't have to give up anybody.
They didn't have too many of their top prospects left.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. And Mary, this is, I mean, the last time he was a star of the Phillies. He won the World Series against Joe Maddon in 2008 when he was the coach of the Rays. That was 10 years ago. Hamels is still a workhorse, but that was 10 years ago.
I think we were all discussing with Dave how he was the best-looking MVP of that World Series team. So
there you go.
Just a little bit of an aside. The day he threw the no-hitter at Wrigley Field, I was attending a wedding that night at the Westin Hotel, and that's where the Phillies were staying. Oh. We get on the elevator to go up to the ballroom level, and who walks onto the elevator but Cole Hamels? And he was on a cell phone. Obviously, his phone was blowing up, and but he got on, big smile. And so he held the door open for us to get out on the second floor, and was very friendly, turned around. I mean, if you're not in a good mood after throwing a no-hitter first against the Cubs in like 40 years, I think, you know, that would be saying something. But apparently a quality guy, and we'll see what he's got left.
Well, I think this is the beginning of a new segment on the show, Dave Ennett's stories.
Elevator rides.
I think that's probably the way to go.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show. Lou's first call.
Lou Manfredini, of course. Mr. Fix-It on the line right now. Lou, how are you, buddy? Nope, we don't have him. Let's try him again. Lou, are you there? Well, we don't have Lou on either of the faders, so that's okay. We can catch up with Lou in just a second and make sure that we can get Lou on for Lou's first call, or otherwise this segment doesn't necessarily work, right?
Oh, I can play the part of Lou.
Okay, there we go. We can try that. How do we do that?
What's the question?
All right, let me get Debbie on the line. Have? Hold on 1 second.
Because Dave and I have asked Lou so many questions. That
maybe you guys have the answer?
Yeah.
Debbie is from Roselle, and she's on the line. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Lou's, they're rebooting the system to get Lou on here, so hopefully he'll be here in a second. But Mary and Dave think they can answer your question, so what's it? Lou, are you there?
I am.
All right, never mind. Lou is there. You guys are off. Mary, Dave, go get some coffee.
Let us try. Come on.
Let Dave try. Hey, maybe it has something to do with Cole Hamels in an elevator.
There you go. Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. You can hear him every Saturday morning here on WGN, and as well everywhere. I mean, this is nationwide, Lou Manfredini. Deb from Roselle is on the line. Debbie, what's your question?
We have a small bathroom on our lower level, and it's an enclosed shower.
and I've noticed that I think we're starting to get some mold, and I've been scrubbing it, but I'm having a problem with the grout. Do you have any suggestion on what to do with getting mold out of grout, or do we have to take out the grout?
Is it ceramic tile?
Yes, textured tile.
Okay, so as long as it's ceramic tile, I want you to use a product called Concrobium Mold Stain Eraser. They're in the midst of coming out with a spray bottle, which if you can't find that yet, where it's a two-part system that mix together as you pull the trigger, which is pretty awesome. But they make one that comes in a bottle, looks like a giant vitamin bottle or a bottle that you would get like a protein shake stuff out of. And you mix that with a gallon of water, use that with a scrub brush, wear some gloves up and down, and it will kill and clean like a mama to get that all nice and cleaned. And then when that's all done and you rinse it, once a week I want you to start using a product called Wet and Forget Shower. And you're going to, before you get out of the shower, you're going to spray it down at the top and let it just kind of ooze down into the grout. And then the next day when you shower, you just rinse it off once a week. Right. It's amazing.
There you go.
So, Lou, you recommend the Concrobium Mold Control Concentrate, not just the spray bottle.
Well, so they have a bunch of different products, but this Concrobium, what they call Mold Stain Eraser, is a powder that actually has a chemical reaction with the water. So when you mix it in a bucket, you have to allow it to sit in the bucket for 10 minutes. Then you stir it again. It almost, my favorite word is percolate, but that's what it does. And then you can use it on decks. You can use it on a bunch of different surfaces. And it really, really does a terrific job. It's primarily an outdoor product, but you can use it for what I suggested.
Well, Lou Manfredini, there you go. Deb from Roselle gets an Aprilaire Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature to your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers. The 60-Minute Men, call 855-955-HVAC. That's 855-955-HVAC. Lou Manfredini, again, when can we hear you on WGN?
Tomorrow morning, starting at 7 a.m., 7 to 10 on the radio. So feel free to call in.
I love it.
For the record, I would have suggested that stuff, but I would have forgotten the name of it because Lou had me use that last year on our patio, and it worked great.
Amazing, it worked, right?
It was,
there you go.
Yeah. I didn't believe him because
testimonials.
Happened before our eyes when we poured it on the concrete.
It's incredible.
It was incredible.
So when Cole Hamels' arm gets tired, we're just going to rub it on his shoulder.
There you
Cobrium.
Go. Lou Manfredini, Saturdays. Thanks, Lou. All right, there we go. Coming up, we got tickets for Heartbreak Hotel, the musical review, the Elvis musical review. And if you have any questions about Elvis, I'm an Elvis expert now after watching documentaries and the show and all that kind of stuff. And also Miles, my son Miles is here today, so we'll talk with him. And Troy Murray is coming up to be our co-host in the 7 o'clock hour. It's 720 WGN. Stay with us.
I can do something else. I am in Glee Club.
Rhapsody. Miles does Bohemian Rhapsody. He knows all...
I'm just a little silhouette of a man.
All right, pick it up. Let me hear it, Big Day.
Ahem. Bum, 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 bum. I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo, 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 Figaro Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me. He's just a poor boy, a poor family.
Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
There you go. Little Miles Kaufman, my son. 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman in for Steve. Stepping up for Steve, as a 708 texter said. That's what I should say instead of in, since I'm here every day.
I like that. I like the stepping up.
Stepping up for Steve Cochran, who will be back on Tuesday. Today is a daycare challenge day in the way that my son Miles is in studio. He's back. Just heard that clip from the last time he was here where he showed off his karaoke skills. Miles, good to see you, buddy. Even though I saw you last night, today drove you in, and of course, continue to be your father. How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you? I haven't heard from you in a minute.
Right. That's right. So I thought today, since you're here and before Troy comes in and we start getting into Blackhawks stuff, which you are a fan, so you could sit in on that.
Yay!
As well. We thought we would talk a little bit. Yesterday we were talking about Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to talk about a new art exhibit that's coming to Chicago, Yayoi Kusama, which you got this chance to see. And, of course, your birthday. Your birthday was last week, but you have a party tomorrow. What are you doing for your party?
We're going to do an escape room with my friends.
Whoa, wait a second. I heard you had a party last weekend already. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're having two parties?
Yeah.
Is one a family party and one a friend party?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Got that
then
party
that's okay.
Squad.
So you're doing one of those escape rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really excited?
Yeah. It's trapped in the room with a zombie, but the zombie's an actual person. So he's probably going to make jokes.
Okay.
Maybe.
A lot of comedy, zombies that do comedy.
Yeah.
We did one of those. We didn't have a zombie. We just had to get out of the room.
Right.
Sounds a little tough.
We didn't make it out.
When we were in California, we did an escape room.
Yeah, we did an escape room.
Yeah. What do you remember from that experience that you're going to take to this new one?
I remember I need to learn more about the complex situations about things.
Why? Why was it just because of the riddles?
Yes, very complex. It was right. Like, where does this piece go? Oh, does it go to the map? Oh.
Right, my sister took Catherine and Patrick to an escape room for their birthdays when Patrick turned 11 in March, and they had to escape the White House.
Hmm.
And Patrick was extra helpful in everything that was low, because they were with adults, and you know, like there's clues low or something. So
there's going to be three kids that'll be there, and we've already said as parents that we're not helping.
Yeah.
We're just going to stand in the corner and
but
watch
then
you
you're probably going to, because we're going to beg on our knees. We're going to be like, please help us. We need your help.
What's the going gift for you? Anything you got already or that you asked for at 11?
I basically got into everything I wanted.
Well, the Lego sets are really big.
Legos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Except
for one thing.
What did you not get?
A $3 Rubik's Cube thing that had the Rubik's Cube inside of the Rubik's Cube.
Right.
That was only $3.
So we skipped that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
sorry.
You got me a $100 Lego set. But,
Wow.
Wow. Great. And
tough,
you know, the thing,
here.
And I am not a, I've been on the record saying that those Lego sets, I still am out to lunch on those, because they're so expensive, and then you get them done, and you can't necessarily play with them like a toy, because they will start to chip away and pieces will fall off. So they're almost just for your shelf.
It's like, I think it's like doing a model plane or something, right? Yeah, so.
And believe me, my son was so into Legos when he was young, and now he's an engineer, which kind of explains why he was so into Legos. But man, those things, you had to dust them all the time after they put them together, because what do you do? You're right. What do you do?
Well, what Miles does is he takes them apart and then uses them in different
areas,
which is great, except that the original set was $100. So I'm like, not so great that you're making a house out of Dr. Strange's...
That's okay. He's using his mind and imagination.
You're right.
I might take apart the spaceship, but not that house, because that house is cool and it's a house. We take apart the pieces to build houses.
Oh, I see.
There you go.
But that's an actual house.
All right, we'll do this. Let's get an update on what's coming up in the news, and then we come back. Let's get a preview for Lollapalooza. Miles went to Lollapalooza last year. Lollapalooza coming up this next week in Grant Park. Miles now an expert on all things Lollapalooza.
And I think Miles is going to give away some tickets.
And he's going to give away some tickets to Heartbreak Hotel. That's coming up. But before we do that, what's coming up?
I was so anticipating, because you just said Lollapalooza, so everyone thought, oh, is he going to take away tickets to Lollapalooza? No, it's Heartbreak Hotel. Deal with it.
And then he dabs.
Oh,
that's
God.
Great.
Dab.
Okay, so let's, Steve, what's coming up in the 7th?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman here. Dave Bennett. Sandberg, Vandeveld, Brzanich, and Miles. Miles is here to talk about Lollapalooza and some other things.
Can I just jump in real quick about an accident? That accident on the inbound side of the Kennedy. I just said that all lanes were blocked, but now only the left lane is blocked at Addison inbound Kennedy, and that's in the express lane.
It's just the worst time for that to happen.
Not a good time, but at least it's only the left lane and not all lanes.
True. Okay, so left lane out on the inbound Kennedy.
Inbound.
But we will hopefully we'll update that coming up here in a couple minutes. Miles, Lollapalooza coming up this week. You know, we're thinking about all these segments we could do to preview the big music festival that's in Grant Park. But you went last year for the first time,
and it was amazing.
And the age of 10. Tell us about what did you first of all over? What did you think of it?
I thought it was one of the best concerts and one of the best, like, I don't know the word for it.
It's
one of the best.
Who'd you go to see?
I went to see Chance the Rapper, and he was good.
Oh, but Miles' street cred is like growing.
That's his first concert.
Right
his
now.
First concert, Lollapalooza, Chance the Rapper.
The Rapper.
I was. I was a little like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah, little, I saw Billy Joel. First? Yeah. That was my first concert.
Like, I was jealous. Okay, so what do we need to know about Lollapalooza? What did you think of it? Like, tell me about what was the best things about it, what's the worst things about it?
So the best things about it was my hair got done, and it, like, one side of it was silver, and one side of it was red, and I was, like, so cool, because I was, like, hot and cool, and it's like that. Oh.
That is amazing.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That was at the kids' stage. You got made up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The second best part of it, because I got to see Chance the Rapper, and right. Keep in mind, he went to my school.
That's right, he did. They went to grade school, grade school in Chicago.
I hope so
not at the same time.
I hope Chance the Rapper hears that he comes in second to having your hair colored silver and red as far as experiences go at Lollapalooza.
That's right. Okay, so what were the worst things about Lollapalooza?
The waiting and the standing and the sugar high, like, meltdown. Because then you just get, like,
meltdown.
So you had sugar, you had, like, ice cream or something at the concession stand, and then after a half hour, you were like...
I was like...
You were coming down. Yeah. So you'd say avoid the sugar at the...
Or maybe have it halfway through, so that way you come down as the show is ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. You come down when the show comes down.
Yep, it was also... Okay, so the standing and the waiting also... You know, did you go by the EDM dance stages? Did you see a lot of teenagers? What, talk about, like, who's at Lollapalooza?
A lot of drunk teenagers who wish that they never got drunk.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what we use it as a cautionary tale.
Oh, sure. See, you don't want to look like this sloppy mess.
Imagine, my wife was so good at it. She would say, take a look. This is what happens when you overdo it. Mm-hmm. And you can see that person doesn't look like they're happy. Or they're having a good time. And that was really true. Like, when you would see someone who might be overserved.
Oh, yeah.
You got the you quickly could assess from a sober standpoint that doesn't look fun, right? No. That was you went there to have fun, but because of it didn't look fun, they weren't having a good time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on from Lollapalooza. You want to do that? Are you going to go this year?
Yes.
Okay, so what are you going to see this year? What are you looking forward to?
Well, Chance is not going to be there, so that's a shame. But I'm looking forward to seeing Zed.
That's a good show.
Zed?
I'm such a cool guy, like Zed, I dabble, yeah.
Do you are you going to wear any, like, glow sticks or things?
Maybe. Oh. Glow sticks aren't really my thing.
Yeah, America.
Because then once in the 4th of July or some fireworks show, a glow stick popped and got in my eye.
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's what happened. I was like 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I might have just been dramatic and got water in my eye. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you did.
But
you have an aversion.
We blame the glow stick.
All right, Miles. We have a pair of tickets to give away for the July 31st performance of Heartbreak Hotel. Now playing
at the
Broadway.
Not Lollapalooza.
Not Lollapalooza. Playing at the Broadway Playhouse.
And he just told us that he gave it to his grandparents or grandma for Christmas.
Her birthday. Which was in April.
Right, and she loved it, right?
Yeah, she loved it.
So there you go. It's a great show. It's Grandma approved. For more info, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. 312-981-7200. You get a pair of tickets. What number? How about you're 11 now? You want to say your 11th caller?
Sure.
Oh, he's not all
really
in
excited.
On 11,
I don't think you really understand that question, did you? The 11th caller, 312-981-7200, is going to the tickets for Heartbreak Hotel. Real quick, we got to see the Kusama exhibit.
Wait a minute. If it's the 11th caller, then no one's going to call because everyone's going to be like, okay, somebody has to call.
Right. You're thinking they're counting again. First. Yeah.
So I need to get, we're not supposed to get first. We're supposed to get 11th.
Well, I think as evidenced by what we see on the screen, they all light up right away. And so then Joe.
I know what he means, though.
Yeah.
You're like, how long do I wait before I call to make sure I'm the 11th? He's talking strategy.
When we were your age and we had to do that, there was the only way to get tickets and things was to get on the phone, to call Ticketmaster, to do that kind of thing. So I know it's a foreign concept to you.
Part of call a radio station, be the first
right,
caller.
The first caller, right.
Not the 11th.
We'll skip the Kusama exhibit, but we got to talk about the Infinity Room, which you and I got a chance to go see, which is awesome. And we'll have to skip it because we're out of time. But Miles, awesome to talk to you, buddy. And go.
It's awesome to talk to you,
you
too.
You got the Wi-Fi password? So.
Do I?
I'm working on it.
Mary's working on it. All right, coming up, Troy Murray is going to be our co-host.
Yeah.
Start the 7 o'clock hour here on 720 WGN.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio.
The Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show. Stepping up for Steve today. He's out until Tuesdays in New York City. The anticipated trip to New York. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks. Justin Kaufman, Mary Sandberg, Dave Ennett, Steve Rzanich, and Mary Vandeville here. 312-981-7200. We are continuing to watch stories this morning, including the continuing story about Michael Cohen's allegations that Donald Trump, the then candidate, knew about the meeting that Donald Trump Jr. had with a Russian publicist, I guess it was, who said they had dirt on Hillary Clinton. This, of course, really at the center of the collusion allegations. If the president had met with Russian officials to get help with the American campaign, that would be illegal. Up to this point, the president has said that he didn't know about the meeting. He didn't know about it till a year later. But in this case, Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, I guess you'd say former lawyer at this point, former lawyer who is dealing with federal charges himself, is alleged. He is saying that the president knew about that meeting beforehand. And of course, the lawyers for the president, including Rudy Giuliani, say that Michael Cohen is a liar. So we're following that story and others, the wildfires in California, and of course, everything else that's happening here. 720 WGN's got your back, Steve Rzanich and the team. But right now, I'd like to introduce our new co-host, for the rest of the program today, Troy Murray. Troy Murray, of course, you can hear on 720 WGN at the radio broadcast of the Chicago Blackhawks, and he will be front and center this weekend at the Chicago Blackhawks convention. And we're excited to have Troy here in studio. Troy Murray! Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
That's awesome, great. Man. Come on.
I'm excited.
The excitement is all mine. It's awesome to have you. So this Blackhawks convention, it's 11 years old. What does it mean?
Is it 11
years? It's 11
years.
11 years.
Wow.
So what's it mean to you? I mean, as a former player and obviously still involved with the broadcast, I mean, do you like the idea of a fan convention?
I think it's a wonderful idea. And obviously, you know, for me, what I appreciate is it brings in the different generations of fans. You know, there's a lot of people down at the convention who come down that remember the old Chicago Stadium days. And then they remember some of these, you know, alumni that come into the fan convention. I get to see old teammates and hang out and talk old stories with that. So it brings it together. Generations of fans. Obviously, you've got a great group of new fans that have jumped on board here.
Yeah.
You know, with the three Stanley Cups and this core group of guys led by Taves and Kane, it's incredible. And, you know, for John McDonough to bring that over into the game of hockey from baseball, what he did with the Cubs, it's the, you know, the model of what you can do in the off season to keep fans interested in the game of hockey. And I there's so many people that go down there and they're excited. They wait all summer long for this convention.
Yeah.
And it's just a great opportunity for fans to interact, you know, with current and former players. It's great.
Do you think sometimes, Troy, the former players, enjoy it even more than the players? Because the players today, they're going to be around each other a lot. I mean, camp's only a matter of a month away or so. But
yeah,
guys don't get together all the time.
You know, I was just actually talking last week with a good friend of mine, Greg Gilbert, who can't make it into town this year, but he was here last year. I don't get to see him very often, and all of a sudden he comes back into town, and you see current or former players that you played with or played against that are now coming back to the convention, and it's a great opportunity to catch up with those guys. You know, for the players, it's, you know, they're in the off season, they're training. You know, for us, it's kind of a unique situation to be able to come down and enjoy the weekend in a different manner.
You just said something, players that you used to play against. I think that's got to be a new panel angle for next year.
Yeah, right.
Like former
rivals.
There were some legitimate hatred back in the day. I mean,
right, so I'd like to get
the Chuck Norris division, the Minnesota North Stars, and Detroit Red Wings back in their heydays with Bob Probert. And all of a sudden you're playing with that guy. I didn't, but in Chicago, it's just like, you know, I hated that guy. I hated Dino Cicerelli.
Yeah, but you guys played against each other at that old, the game up at when they played the Stadium Series game at Minnesota at TCF Bank Stadium. Didn't you and Cicerelli play against each other in that game?
Yeah, we did. But I ended up playing with Dino Cicerelli in the World Championships, and he was a great guy. Loved him, but I hated playing against him. I would have loved to have him on my
team.
I
always love this with athletes. Like, do you just hate their style of play, or is it about the personality?
Well, if you don't hate them, they're probably not doing enough against you. I mean, I hated to play against Wayne Gretzky because I would play head-to-head against him, and he'd get about 5 points, and, you know,
he was just good.
He was just good.
So, but was he kind of a jerk? Were they jerky on the ice?
He was hard to play against and bad to play against in a different way. Like Dino Cicerelli, and there was Claude Lemieux, who I ended up playing with the Colorado Avalanche, and he was another guy that everybody around the league just despised. I loved the guy when I was his teammate. I hated him when I played against him, and, you know, those are the kind of guys that in the long run are the type of players that you want on your side, because those are the guys that are getting under the skin of the opposition, and they'll do whatever it takes to win. And
from the broadcast booth, I mean, as you see the new wave of NHL hockey, is there a place for that kind of get under the skin style of hockey? I mean, we can see fights have diminished. We haven't had that kind of thing that it used to be, Probert to get on the ice just specifically to get under player skins.
Stu Grimson is coming into the convention, and he was the Grim Reaper, and, you know, he was, you know, one of the most feared guys in the NHL, and that type of player in a lot of respects is, as you mentioned, Justin, has gone from the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Blackhawks last year, until he was traded away, had Ryan Hartman, and there's a reason why the Nashville Predators wanted to get Ryan Hartman, because if you talk to those players in Nashville, they say, well, who don't you like playing against? Well, this Ryan Hartman kid is he gets under my skin. He just makes me mad. That's the type of player that, you know, is still effective in today's game. And that's why Ryan Hartman was sought after at the trade deadline.
How about Andrew Shaw?
There's a great example. I mean, nobody better than Andrew Shaw. I mean, and you got to love Andrew Shaw, because everybody thought that he was going to be too small and not talented enough to play in the NHL, and he was passed up in the draft for a couple reasons. So he comes to Chicago. He's playing extremely well in the minors. They sign him to a contract earlier in the week before he was called up. He comes into a game in Philadelphia. He scores a goal in his first game, and he gets a fight in his first game. Never really went back to the minors because he did whatever it took to play in the NHL, and he knew that he had to be Andrew Shaw. He couldn't be Wayne Gretzky. He couldn't be Patrick Kane. He had to be Andrew Shaw and play that type of hockey. Yeah, and now he was rewarded with a nice contract in Montreal. So you have those type of players in the game, and you still hate and despise to play against those guys.
All right, here's what we'll do.
As a broadcaster, I don't like watching those type of guys because I just want
to get out there and sue back up. Which broadcasters get under your skin? Troy Murray, our co-host this morning on the Steve Cochran Show. Let's do this. We want to give away. We got a lot of stuff to give away today. Why don't we got the 4-pack for the Blackhawks for the convention? Right. Do we have that anymore? Is that done?
Because it's today.
So why don't we do this? We got the $100 gift card to New Balance. Shop New Balance Chicago's 4 locations and receive a free gate analysis. Stores in Lincoln Park, Orland Park, Oak Brook Terrace, and Schaumburg. 312-981-7200. What caller should we do for the
19? Since we got a 19.
Yeah, Taves. 19. Yeah.
Taves.
19.
Taves. The other 19.
So why don't we 1
plus? Can you believe that guy took my number?
I know, I can't even believe it.
Retired, also worn by in small print on the bottom.
Let's do one
play. That's all I want.
But the 19th caller, 312-981-7200, is going to get that $100 gift card to New Balance. Troy Murray's with us. He's with us through the entire show today.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Justin Kaufman stepping up for Steve, instead of saying in for Steve, just moving musical chairs to this chair. Troy Murray is here. He's co-hosting the program this morning, and we've got a lot to do. John Weideman's going to join us coming up after the 7:30 news in the 8 o'clock hour. Dean Richards will be with us. Steve Stone's going to join us. Chris Chelios later in the show, as well as Sir the Baptist live in our performance studio. Our first use of the performance studio. It just got done. I think there was an artist that was in with Roe last week, but this will be the first time that we actually are using it. And Sir the Baptist, perfect, baptizing the...
Oh, there you go, yeah.
I'm already working on
with the
play.
Rap gospel.
Rap gospel. There's going to be a choir in there. It's going to be great. So, all right, so it's time for the most valuable person on the planet for Friday, July 27th. Today, this is a great story. This happened in Tallahassee. Officer Tony Carlson is our most valuable person on the planet because he helped a homeless man shave to get a job. This is a story that's been going around. It went viral because it was caught on video. The idea that the homeless man went into a McDonald's to get a job. They said, we can't give you a job or even consider you until you shave this beard. He goes out into the parking lot to try and shave, and he is approached by a police officer, Officer Carlson. We'll let Officer Carlson pick up the story from there. Officer Carlson, thanks for joining us on the Steve Cochran Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, I got us up to that point, right? To the point of you approaching the man in the parking lot. When you arrived, to pick up the story for us, so what did you know?
I didn't know anything at the time. I was actually just finishing up another call, and I just happened to pull in the parking lot there, and I saw Phil sitting out front. He had a electric razor connected to the front of the building using their power, and... I walked inside, made sure it was okay that he was there, and when I came back out, he was having a real difficulty with the razor, and he said, "Hey, you know anything about electric razors? This one's broke," and he just asked me for some help.
So you helped him shave his beard, and this, of course, was caught on video and has gone viral. Are you number one? Did you know you were being video recorded? And two, are you surprised at the reaction, the worldwide reaction to you helping this man shave?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I did not know that we were being recorded. Neither me or Phil did. In my line of work, I need to kind of be. Aware of my surroundings, but I will say at that time I failed to be aware of my surroundings because I didn't really pay attention to anybody in the parking lot. Phil just asked me if I could help him fix the razor, which one of the screws was missing on the back, so I tightened the other one up tight enough where it would actually work. And then Phil started to try to shave, but he didn't have a mirror, and he was hitting a patch here, patch there, so that's when I offered. I said, "Hey, Phil, if you want to let me try, I'd probably get it done a lot quicker." But as to it going viral, yeah, I mean, I was really surprised. I left that call, or I left Phil after I was finished. Went to another call, got done with it, and I was sitting there. And my wife calls me, and she's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Nothing. What are you doing?" And she goes, "Did you shave some guy today?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? How do you know that?" And she said it was on Facebook, and it was getting passed around. I was like, "Oh boy."
How long have you been an officer?
Just over 20 years.
Oh, just over 20 years. So in all the years of that you've been an officer doing things that are, probably more dangerous and things like that than shaving, this is the one thing you're known for now. Like,
oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and that's what I was telling somebody this morning, that it's kind of crazy that out of all the things that over 20 years, this kind of stuff happens all the time. It just so happens that somebody was there and not only took a picture, but then the girl that took the picture, she actually came inside after I went inside to wash my hands and clean up a little bit. And she came in and she offered to buy me a drink, and she said that that was the nicest thing I've ever seen. And we started talking, and I told her what Phil had told me, that he was told if he wanted a job, he had to clean up and he had to shave his beard because his beard was really raggedy. I just went from there.
We constantly talk about videos that we see of a lot of bad things going on. So it's right. Nice to see someone pulled out their phone and, documented something that was just a kind act.
Right. A lot of people have asked me, what I want to see come out of this. And for Phil, I want to see him get a job and get back on track. And I hope that for him. On my side, I hope that, one, if somebody else is in a situation where they can help somebody, they take that leap of faith and they do it. And two, that this paints more of a positive light on what police really do, because I can't say it enough that 95% of our job is stuff like this that nobody ever sees.
Yeah. Tallahassee police officer Tony Carlson, his video went viral after he helped a homeless man, Phil, shave his beard so he could get a job. He is our most valuable person on the planet for today, Friday, July 27th. I can't thank you enough for joining us, taking some time out today, officer, and we appreciate the time.
It was an honor, and I appreciate everything y'all doing.
All right. Thank you very much. There you go. That's a good most valuable person on the planet to get the officer who's involved in that viral video on the program. It's awesome.
And it's nice. You know, you don't go to the police academy to do to little, you know, like acts like that.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's really you got to have a part of you that notices.
And the insight, the takeaway for me on that story as well is that, as he said, 95% of the job is acts like that. So that's important, because we think that you know, police are always either dealing with really high crime or in harm's way. But mm-hmm. a lot of the times it's situations.
It was
like
nice.
That.
I was watching TV last night and the segment on, you know, the whole story came on TV last night, and it was a feel-good story, as you guys are talking about, which was really nice to see, because there's so many things that are on the negative side of things now in today's world, that it's nice to see the positive of, yep. of something like that. And like he says, I just want people to, you know, realize that that does happen quite a bit, and it's the stuff that doesn't go noticed, like some of the negative stuff that happens.
Yeah. Troy Murray, Mary Sandberg, Justin Kaufman, it's Steve Cochran's show, 720 WGN. We'll come back. John Weideman's going to join us after the headlines. Stay with us.
In behind the net, Tay swings it around. Oh, and all the way down the ice it goes. For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks organization, along with the greatest fans in all of hockey, welcome you back to your new home, Chicago, Illinois, in the U.S. of A.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
How fun is that, huh? 720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show, Justin Kaufman here. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to text or call. Troy Murray, our co-host this morning, he is in studio with us, and joining us on the line now, his cohort, John Weideman, in the broadcast here on 720 WGN. John, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. And you could refer to me as his partner in crime. I've been called worse.
No, there's no crime involved. No crime involved.
So, John, we were talking about the convention, and this being the 11th year for it. For you, what does it mean to have this fan convention and to be a part of the festivities this weekend?
Well, to me, it means, you know, another year of getting together with the Blackhawk fans, and I refer to them as the greatest fans in hockey, and I mean that. That comes from my heart, and I really mean that. It's just a time where, you know, you're in the middle of the summer, and you're at that point in the summer where it's like, okay, you're looking at your watch, you're looking at the calendar, you're saying, you know, hockey season's got to get here pretty quick. I'm missing it. I mean, I didn't like the way the Stanley Cup final ended. I didn't like the fact that the Blackhawks weren't even in the playoffs. So I would like to get us into a new season, and I know the fans all want to see that, but you know, when you get an opportunity to get with the fans and share thoughts and ideas and even memories, it's a special time. And I really enjoy the convention. I enjoy the interaction. I enjoy the panels. I have a good time with everything about it. And this year, I'm bringing my son, Sean. And so I think he's old enough now to where I can almost cut him loose in the hotel. But anyway, he's going to have some fun, too.
Is it weird, John, and good morning, by the way, well, for both you guys to have had this long an off season, because this is kind of uncharted waters for you?
Yeah, good morning, Dave. It is a little bit. I remember my first season with the Blackhawks, actually first two seasons with the Blackhawks. We knew that we were not going to make the playoffs. My second season with the Blackhawks, they made it close. They finished out of playoff contention by 3 points. and then we had the longer summer. So, yeah, it is a little bit strange. I find moments where I sit there and I think, okay, now what am I going to do? But I usually have a pretty full slate. But I definitely prefer the shorter summer. The shorter summer to me is a lot more fun. It means that it's going to be a compact type of time, and I'm going to have to get all the trips in and all the family visits and all the things that I usually do every summer. And then, you know, you turn your head quickly and, whoa, there's the hockey season right there. So the bad part of that, though, is that with a shorter summer, the players don't have as much time to fully recover from the playoffs from the year before. But I'll take a short summer anytime.
I know, John and Troy, you both have those automatic excuses to get you out of obligations, usually April, May, June, you know, like, oh, no, we've got
do?
A game. Yeah, well, if you've got a game, you know, you can't, sorry, can't be at that
sorry,
family wedding.
Get ready for the game, right?
You were all available this yeah. summer.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. As I said, this is a time where you really look forward to seeing the fans and getting back together. I mean, you know, the one thing I didn't mention in all of that, I see guys that I work with that I typically don't see during the summer because I get busy with my family and the things that I'm doing. And, you know, I see Troy maybe once or twice during the summer. So, you know, it's good to see him and good to get back together with, you know, all the gang and just have a good time.
Real quickly, John, if you've got 11 years under your belt coming into the 11th year, what is your favorite moment that you've had down at the convention over the years, if you could pick one?
That's tough because there's a lot of good ones. You know, I'd really have to think about that because it just seems like, you know, whenever you're there, you're constantly turning and saying hi to people and shaking hands. I guess if I could pick one moment, you know, and it really it's not a singular moment, but I would say moments. I would say that the opening ceremonies are my favorite time because there's a lot of spirit inside the convention. It's nice to be introduced. You know, I mean, it's nice to be one of the people that has the opportunity to walk down that ramp and low five all the fans as you go and shake Eddie's hand. It's going to be great to see him too. And yeah, those are kind of in my mind, those are the moments that I find the most fun.
I got to think for both you guys, the convention in 2010 was really special. Not necessarily any more so than the other Stanley Cup years, but that yeah, being the first, right. And it was still so fresh for everybody. I remember being in that ballroom before the convention, and it was just absolutely berserk.
Yeah, I mean, it when you look back at the years after the winning Stanley Cup in 10, 13, 15, those are always obviously special conventions for the players and the fans. The players, after the season's over, they have some fun, and then they scatter to, you know, to wherever they're going to be in the summers. So for them to come back for the weekends, I mean, they had a lot of fun, and I think for you know, for those players and for everybody in the convention who attended it, the fans, those are the special moments that you really get to enjoy. And for this one, it's going to be a little bit different because for the first time in a lot of these panels and stuff, you're going to be talking to the players and ask them, you know, what has to be done next year
right.
that didn't happen last year
that,
for
right.
this team to get back into the postseason.
It's such a strange story, sports story, when you really look at the Blackhawks, and you know, we of course have been spoiled in this town with having three Stanley Cup championships, but they're a worst to first story, or first to worst, in the way they're the number one seed in the West the year before.
Yeah.
To go out of the playoffs and to actually be in the bottom of the Central Division, that, I mean, there's a lot of, I guess the question, like, uncharted territory, like, you're not sure what to expect next year.
Real quickly, one of the things that the NHL wanted was parity. And when they put the salary cap system into place in the NHL, I mean, the team, and especially a team like the Blackhawks, who have had success during this era, they have been more affected probably than any of the other team,
yeah, right.
because, you know, when you win, you get rewarded. And for the Blackhawks, they've had to make some very tough decisions over the years, and they've kept their core group together. But all of those players, you look at Dustin Byfuglien now being a huge part of the Winnipeg Jets. So the players that were here that you wish you could have kept are now big pieces of the puzzle
somewhere
for
else.
Other teams,
right.
Because they've won the Stanley yeah. Cup. They have that pedigree. They yeah. have that on their resume.
John, we'll let you go, but I got to ask,
Exactly.
You know, just what's the etiquette for fans to come up to you guys at the convention? Are you cool? You're like, just come on up and talk? Or are you one of those guys who's like, hey, talk to my assistant?
John
first.
Wears a jersey with his name on the back.
No, you know what? I'm approachable. Just so long as you're not holding a gun on me or something like that, I'm all right. No, you know what, guys? Truthfully, I mean, at that convention, I am expecting that I'm going to have maybe 1,000 encounters with people that want to just come up and say hi. And what I find, guys, is that at the convention, a lot of fans will come up and they will shake my hand. People that I've never met, and they'll say, we really enjoy your and Troy's work, and that never gets old. And so it ends up in a conversation, and I enjoy the encounter. And anybody wants to come up and say hi, I'm open for business.
There
trust
you go, John Weideman. Thanks, John.
All right, guys, have a great day.
Yeah, there you go. How about that?
Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah. All right, so we got a lot more show. Dean Richards coming up. Chris Chelley is going to join us a little bit later in the show. Troy Murray, our co-host in the Steve Cochran Show this morning. 720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show. I'm Justin Kaufman. Troy Murray, our co-host today. Troy, what do you have to do at the convention? You got panels and things like that. Where are you going to be for the weekend?
It starts at 3 o'clock. They've got a corporate sponsor meet and greet. They've got a media meet and greet with the players and everything as well. We've got the opening ceremonies at 5 o'clock. Then later on this evening, after the opening ceremonies, I've got a live auction. I'm going to be the auctioneer, and there's some great items. Jeff Ueno and all the Blackhawks staff, Troy Parchman, boy, they have some great memorabilia stuff from the season in the past that you want to get down there and get a piece of. Saturday, I got a full slate. I'm doing Family Feud. Adam Burrish is going to be the host. Family Feud against
great.
A family from the audience, I do believe, that they're going to take, and we're going to have a game. And then I'm going to moderate a session with Duncan Keith and Chris Chelios on defensive play, and then Chris Chelios and I are going to do a little video for Budweiser a little bit later on for a snippet for some commercials.
Chelley going to be on the show coming up in the 9 o'clock hour today. Lots to do. That sounds great. There'll be a lot of families down there. We've been giving out family four packs for the last couple weeks on the show. So.
Great to see all the families down there.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids are there all weekend, and like John said, you have an opportunity to talk with these kids, and they're just the look on their faces. They just light up when they see players, and for their excitement, it's incredible. And that's what it's all about.
I think the kids also light up when they see Tommy Hawk.
Yeah.
He's the number one star.
They love Tommy Hawk.
It's a good mascot.
Yeah, he's a great job.
Yeah. He did a great job.
All right, coming up, Dean Richards going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. And we also, coming up, we'll have Steve Stone, Chris Chelios, and Sir the Baptist live in our performance studio. We'll take a break, get the news, and then Dean Richards. So stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Dean Richards joins us now. Dean Richards, of course, the legendary entertainment
legendary
reporter.
Wow.
I mean, you are. I mean, if you get a, well, you, how many was a Silver Circle, Silver Dome? What was it?
Did you say dome because he doesn't have hair?
Because I'm bald.
No, I did not.
Silver Circle. It's required.
That's what I'm saying. I at a certain
somebody
point,
talks to me, they have to make a bald mention no matter what.
I would never do that to you, buddy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm getting a toupee. I'm going to get a toupee.
There you go. Troy Murray is co-hosting.
I'm going
this
full
morning.
Ron Santo for the rest of the year.
You get that glued on, right?
I'm going to get several. Dave, what did Ron used to call? Didn't he say?
He had his gamer.
The gamer. That's what I was saying. He had several toupees for different occasions.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do.
Say hi to our co-host today, Troy Murray.
Troy Murray. Nice to have him up early today.
Yeah.
How's it going for you? Not non-ice broadcast.
It's good. And this is the first time in the new studio.
Isn't it beautiful up there?
I mean, my goodness, the view up here is incredible.
Has Justin showed you the condos across the way where people leave their drapes open?
If you want to watch the people sleep and slow exercise, there's another side to the building.
There's some cereal eating as well. And they don't even know we're looking. So.
Might pass on that.
We think they don't know we're watching.
Right? That's true.
Yeah. All right. So lots to talk. I saw this story today, and I thought about you, Dean. The Roseanne is making the round. She was on Sean Hannity last night talking about her ill-advised tweet and
what
happened.
Did you watch it or read anything about it?
I did. I watched the clip where she spoke to the camera or spoke directly to Valerie Jarrett, which was, I don't know. I guess I'm confused. Tell me about this. This was an interview. She's on the rounds now. She's got an excuse, and she's trying to, she's making this political.
Well, she's that's what she says, that the original tweet in which she really made a very racist remark about former Obama administration official Valerie Jarrett. She's now saying that was not racist and it was political instead. That's the sum of what she said, which, you know, she's apologized about 10 times already for this. And just about every time she does, she changes her apology with this. Her latest version of this now is that it was not racist. She's sorry that everyone took it as being racist, but it was a political statement about the Obama administration.
Right.
So, you know, take it for what it's worth. But Sean Hannity, who I have to give credit to, corralling Roseanne with this, who was very scattered. He would ask a very pointed question, and she would go off, you know, talking about every other thing with the interview. He tried his best to keep the interview on the tracks. He asked her, if you were speaking to Valerie Jarrett right now, what would you say? And we've got a little bit of that response, but Roseanne could not resist at the end of this taking a little shot at Valerie Jarrett also.
But if she's watching, I'm so sorry that you thought I was racist and that you thought that my tweet was racist, because it wasn't. It was political. And I'm sorry for the misunderstanding that caused, my ill-worded tweet. And you know, I'm sorry that you feel harmed and hurt. Plus, I tell her she's got to get a new haircut. I mean, seriously, she needs a new haircut.
Not sure that helps
the right time
to resolve
joke.
This thing right. at all.
That's the thing with Roseanne.
Maybe
she is a comedian.
She may have laughed.
May have been joking. Sean Hannity didn't laugh.
I get what she's doing. She's a comedian, and she's trying to and normalize that this is what she does. She takes on people's appearances, and she wants to do that. Maybe it's contrived in the way that she's trying to overdo it because of what her tweet was, but she is trying to bring it back to, I'm a comedian, I'm making jokes.
I'm not sure really what the point was of last night. It's really, I don't think it helped her. If anything, I watched the full 1 hour interview, and I left feeling the interview sorry for her. Much of the interview, she talked about her history of emotional disorders, which was more than apparent during this interview, just of scattered talk and things that didn't relate to anything else. I hope that she gets, you know, whatever help that she needs, you know, it continues to need, by her own admission, you know, needing help for emotional issues and a history of emotional issues that she has. Yeah. I'm not sure that we learned anything new, except that, you know, she's changed her apology again, and really is not apologizing. She's apologizing if you misunderstood what she said. She's not apologizing for anything that she
said. And I don't know if it's just the way that our country is right now, from officials and celebrities and whoever, the apologies, there's this short-term memory loss. You're right. She's changed her apology, or why she tweeted it, or what the reasoning was behind the tweet, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times.
Yeah, first
and acts like we didn't. We don't recognize that, and it's just so strange that she would go on and just be like it's obvious that somebody has told her to go with this and don't apologize for anything else.
Yeah, use this spin. Don't you use that spin? I mean, it's been Ambien. You know, at first she was very, very apologetic, and you know that she made the statement, then it was Ambien, and then it was something else, and you know, now it's this and that. And I know some people are just going to say that, you know, I'm being hard on this interview, because of political views. This, it has nothing to do with political views. My guess is that Sean Hannity would be saying exactly the same things that I'm saying about this interview.
Well, indeed, you've been very empathetic about it.
Even, I do feel sorry for her, but before anybody criticizes anybody, watch the whole interview. Don't go by, you know, Roseanne is on the right and, you know, somebody else is on the left. Watch the interview and see what kind of conclusion that you get, because I don't know how you can come to any other conclusion if you actually watch the words that she said last night.
Do you, I know you've said she has said she needs help and things. Have you heard, is she doing anything or are there any steps?
That she said that she's continuing with therapists and has gone through a variety. She talked about one treatment that she went through, one specific treatment that she went through that was not effective. I mean, much of the interview, and this obviously was by Sean Hannity's design. He was the interviewer. He led the conversation. He wanted to talk about her history of emotional disorders.
Dean Richards, of course, joins us every morning at 8 o'clock, every weekday morning. All right, let's do this. We'll get an update on what's coming up in the news. Take a break, come back, and we've got some stuff to talk. Michael Bublé was in the news, and also cool stuff to do. And Mission Impossible review. We got to get to the review of the big Mission Impossible movie that's out.
Yes.
Dean Richards, but let's find out what's coming up in the 8:30 news. Steve?
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 7-2.
Moron Entertainment, is that what we call this? That's right. It doesn't feel the same when Steve's not here for Moron Entertainment, so we'll just introduce Dean as Dean
Step
Richard.
Up the moron quotient a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
To make up for Steve. Troy,
I know, right?
Troy, come on.
Troy, can
add in a little bit.
I can do... I can be the moron.
There's nothing too stupid for this segment.
Well, let's talk Mission Impossible, Fallout, the film. The reviews are coming in. This is we were talking to Nick DiGilio yesterday about this. This is the only vehicle for Tom Cruise that makes money. The rest of Tom Cruise's career at this point, they're bomb after bomb after bomb. They might be good movies, but they don't do well at the box office.
I mean, some of his other ones, that, you know, Jack Reachers and others, have done okay, but nothing even remotely close to now the six Mission Impossible films that he's done that started, I want to say, back in the year 2000, which is amazing that he's been doing this character and this franchise for nearly 20 years, and there are no signs of slowing down with this. Normally you get two or three films in a franchise and it begins to fall apart. No signs whatsoever. This film is about as strong and as exciting as any of them that have come along. The premise is almost secondary to everything that surrounds the premise, which is some plutonium goes missing in the hands of some bad guys. They want to set off nuclear bombs around the world to disrupt the world order, and it's up to the Impossible Mission Force, should they decide to accept the mission, to find the plutonium and stop these nuclear explosions that are going to take place. Right. But this is done with so much excitement. It's like a Daredevil choreography with this, of one exciting stunt and action scene after the next. If he's not jumping out of a plane, he's doing helicopter aerobics. We had talked about the scene where he famously shattered his ankle, real life injury with this, and the scene when you all go to see the movie this weekend, there's a scene in which he's running from rooftop to rooftop to rooftop to rooftop, and you know, is jumping from rooftop to rooftop, and there's a point at which he, instead of jumping from rooftop to rooftop, he goes rooftop smashing into the side of a building. And
that's,
you know,
in the trailer,
you look at it and go, wow, that's amazing. That stuntman really did a great job there. It was not a stuntman, that was Tom Cruise, and that was not planned. There was a misstep there, and that's the scene where he shatters his ankle.
We talked about it yesterday, that he keeps going. He keeps going.
He told me that, you know, he knew that they could only do this one time. He knew that something was very wrong, that he had broken something, but he still lifts himself up on the building, as you see in the movie, and keeps running past the camera, and that's where he collapsed after he was out of the shot. But that's Tom Cruise. It's one thing after another.
Let's bring in Troy.
Why, Dean, do you think that he? You know, I know that there's a lot involved with it, but why does he want to do a lot of these elaborate scenes himself and risk himself to the injuries?
He's an action junkie. I mean, that's what I think it is. He finds it tremendously exciting. You know, there are some precautions that they take with harnesses and things. You know, I'm sure while he's doing all this building jumping, you know, that there are precautions so he doesn't seriously hurt himself with any of this. But he just absolutely loves it. I mean, you know, some people would say, you know, how can hockey players get out on the ice and go through the physical abuse that they do? But I mean, isn't that part of the adrenaline rush for athletes?
Yeah, no, I guess
whether it's hockey or anything else, yeah, where there's a certain amount of physical danger involved.
Good point.
Hey, Dean, during the break, Troy brought up a great question. We couldn't think of another star like a Tom Cruise that you'll go see in the theater, even if you're not into the movie. You know, Tom Cruise is a draw. Do you have Justin brought up The Rock?
The Rock.
Can you give another star that has power like that these days?
No.
That's what we came up with.
That's a legitimate question. Yeah. I mean, where has that movie star gone? Where it's like I'm going to go see Tom Cruise.
Genuine movie star. Not only is he the evil Knievel of movies, but he's a really good actor. I mean, the scenes that don't involve stunts, he is so good, so emotional and empathetic and charismatic in the roles that he does, and this particular character, Ethan Hunt in particular. There is just a draw to him, and I think that, you know, part of the enjoyment of this movie is knowing that he's doing almost all the stunts that you see. There's a helicopter scene toward the end of the movie. It's him maneuvering this helicopter and jumping out of airplanes. In fact, talking about jumping out of airplanes, last night on the Late Late Show with James Corden, instead of Cruise just coming to talk to him at the desk, Tom Cruise made James Corden jump out of an airplane with him.
Oh, that's great.
If you want to watch something so entertaining, take a look at that on James Corden's YouTube channel today. It's fantastic.
All right, we're short on time. Michael Bublé's wife gave birth to a baby girl, but you can find that online. But cool stuff to do this weekend.
Significant in that this is their third child now, by the way, in the Bublé family. His oldest son, Noah, who's now 5 years old, was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer 2 years ago. So now they've added to their family. Noah, by the way, doing very, very well.
Good.
And apparently in remission.
He is the cutest kid on the planet, too.
He sure is.
He is like had this hair. He has amazing hair.
Right. Oh, there we go with the hair.
Oh, sorry. There we go.
All right, cool stuff to
there
do this
There we
weekend.
Go with the hair stuff again. We've got the DuPage County Fair that's going on this weekend that you might want to check out. We've got the Lake County Fair that's going on this weekend as well. Taste of Margarita Festival at Navy Pier. Stone's throw from the studio today.
Go. You can see it from here.
I'm just saying. The morning show crew could be, all salty around the edges today. But concerts. Kenny Chesney is at Soldier Field on Saturday. Chris Brown's Hollywood Amphitheater in Tinley Park also on Saturday. We've got Erasure. You want a little blast from the 80s at the Chicago Theater Friday, tonight and Saturday. Wiz Khalifa's in Tinley Park. At Ravinia, Wang Chung, Flock of Seagulls, and Naked Eyes. I'm pretty sure that's why Steve has taken off the last few days.
Ready. He's pre-partying.
Got his mullet wig out for Ravinia. And then, of course, Foo Fighters.
There you go.
At Wrigley Field Sunday and Monday.
That's an amazing weekend in Chicago.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
Thanks, Dean.
Go on. Have a good weekend, everybody.
There you go. Dean Richards. There you go. That was great. Great entertainment. More on entertainment.
I wonder if I'll see Dean at Kenny Chesney. We're going.
Are you going?
So I hope I see him.
All right, well,
rocking out with the him and Thomas Rhett.
There it is. All right, we'll take a quick break here, get the news, and then coming up, Steve Stone. We'll talk White Sox baseball here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psych it!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That's right. 720 WGN. It's time for Steve Stone on Baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You. Joins us on Fridays. Steve, where are you going to be eating today?
That's a good question. Well, you know, we got in late last night, so Beatrix sounds awfully good this morning. It's right there on Clark Street. Yeah, that's one of the locations. There's a few of them, but yeah, that seems to be a nice spot to have some breakfast before a huge game tonight.
That's right. I'm excited to have the White Sox back in town. We're going tonight. Yesterday, the series in the Angels, it was a maddening series as a fan to watch because you had seen the boys battle back, get back into that game late, and to watch the bullpen kind of throw it away. We've been talking about this on this program for every time you join us about that the bullpen is kind of the Achilles heel for the White Sox. But what's your takeaway from that series we just saw out in Anaheim?
Well, it's going to get a little more difficult these days with Soria gone. I mean, that was a guy at the end who you could trust a bit to come in and try to nail down the ball game. So now it's going to be, I think it's going to be bullpen by committee. I mean, that's one of the toughest things for any ball club. If your bullpen is porous, and obviously the Sox bullpen could be a little better than it is now, but if it's porous, then it gets really tough toward the end. And you battle, the offense comes back, and you get back in games only to see it slip away. So it's, it was a difficult series. The first two games were very clean, and I think, at least on this road trip, which was a 3-4 trip, I think the Sox, if they needed any more convincing, when they play a clean game, they're going to be in the game all the way. That's one of the things. However, more times than not, the defense or the bullpen has been a little shaky, and then you come in second.
Yeah, I did want to ask you, Steve, if you guys were okay after the bee invasion at the ballpark yesterday.
Well, we heard varying reasons. One was that Jerry Davis was having a problem. He was a crew chief, and he wound up leaving. And the other was that there were bees in the area. So I've seen the bees there before. I don't know what it was. It didn't take all that long, but it seemed to have disrupted their starter a bit. He gave up three home runs coming back and was knocked out of the game.
Right, right. The timing was rather fortuitous for that.
Yeah.
All right, so the White Sox pick up two more pitching prospects. Apparently, Cody Medeiros, who comes over in the Soria deal, is a guy who was a first-round pick, and so maybe, you know, there's somebody. You have a couple more arms. I look at the young guys who are up here now, like Giolito, who's pitching really well, and Lopez, who's going to pitch tonight, certainly had his moments, and Dylan Covey pitched a great game the other night. And I have Dylan Cease, terrific outing this week. Kopech won yesterday. So is it just at this point when you're adding arms, is it sometimes you're adding arms as future chips that you've got, whether or not those guys actually ever pitch for you, but they give you some flexibility in terms of dealing for other positions down the road?
Well, I think there's a couple of different things. Number one, when you do make a move, and I'm not sure of the financial considerations in this particular trade, but every time you make a move, you stockpile some young players, but you also try to get some financial flexibility. And I don't know the exact details of this one, but that's what these deals are made for. And yes, you can't have enough prospects. I mean, because some of them, number one, are not going to develop. Other guys are going to get hurt. They find one reason or another not to be as successful as you would have liked. So the best thing is to keep stockpiling these guys and see what happens. I don't know exactly about these two guys, but you're right. Medeiros is a guy that everybody says is the reason reason this trade was made. But it gives Milwaukee what they need. They needed a proven guy out of their bullpen. Soria is that. He was throwing very well for the Sox, as a matter of fact, this year. But I think that's what Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are in the process of doing, is stockpiling as much talent as they possibly can, and then you pick and choose from what you have. You decide who you're going to move on in other deals, and you decide who's good enough to come to the major leagues. But that's really the key right now, getting as many of these guys as you can.
Steve, the Blackhawks defense has a lot of good young prospects, and there's a timeline, obviously a little bit different because of the age that the hockey players are drafted. The great prospects that the White Sox have that they've built in their farm system here, what is the timeline for the White Sox and these young players to maybe see them fit into the big picture here in Chicago?
I don't think there is a timeline per se, because there's no Well, I won't say there's no desire because you want to win each and every time, but the boys knew that this would not be the year for this franchise, and so rather than bring these guys up as a group, they're going to bring them up, and what they've said is that these players will determine when they're up. When the Sox feel they get as many at-bats as they need or as many innings as they need, then they'll bring them up with no real timeline. So that's one thing we haven't heard. We haven't heard, you know, Kopech's going to be up here, Jimenez is going to be up here. I think a few of the other guys might have been up at this point had they not been injured. That is not the case with Cease and Kopech. They've stayed healthy. But I think some of the other guys, now Cease is pretty young. Kopech will probably be here before the end of the year, you would assume. Assuming that all things go right, the same thing with Jimenez. He'll probably be here before the end of the year sometime. We just really don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, does your preparation change at all when you know something like Country Night is happening at the ballpark tonight?
No, although it's not a bad idea, but no, I don't prepare any differently at all, except maybe pick out a country music group or something along those lines, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, we'll be at the game tonight. Steve Stone, of course, joins us every Friday. His segment's sponsored by Let Us Entertain You. He's going to be at Beatrix. Sounds like a good breakfast spot.
It is that. We'll see you guys. Have a good show. We'll see you in a week or so.
There you go. Thanks, Steve Stone, joining us here on the Cochran Show every Friday, 720 WGN. All right, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Chris Chelios is going to join us, as well as a live performance from Sir the Baptist. Rest of the show. We still got, it's amazing. We still got great segments coming up here on the show. I love doing the show. Troy, you picked a good show to be hanging out.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for Chelly to be back in town. You know, I've known him. I played with him. I played against him. We go way back to actually playing NCAA against each other. I was at North Dakota. He was at Wisconsin. And I may want to bring this up that we did beat Wisconsin in the NCAA final. So I do have that over Chelly.
But
he's a great guy, and I think he's just going to do a fantastic job as a Blackhawks ambassador.
Well, we'll talk about that coming up after the 9 o'clock news.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Justin Kaufman in for Steve, stepping up for Steve. Moved one chair over this morning. Troy Murray's here, he's co-host. You know, I wanted Miles to come in and talk to Steve Stone because it's country night. We're going to the game tonight. And the last time we went to the game, it was amazing to me. And I told a story before that there was the Brewers Sox and Lorenzo Cain, who's a center fielder for the Brewers. There was a group of women behind us that was like kind of going, Lorenzo! And he responded. And I've never seen that before, where an actual outfielder turns around and has a conversation or at least was and engaged, and he was doing it after every pitch. And there was like an inning where there were six different pitchers, and so he was much more. And I wonder, Troy, I'll ask you the question: you know, as a professional athlete, are you aware of the comments and the things that fans are saying to you when you're on the ice or on the field?
Might be a little bit different for hockey because of the glass and they're sealed off a little bit. You know, baseball, if you're on the sidelines, or you're in the outfield, or you're right there, and your voice can resonate onto the field, but you don't really hear it. I mean, every now and then you might hear some kind of a comment that's coming out, but you get a little bit focused on what's going on, and you know, once the game is, and hockey is a little bit different animal than baseball.
Yeah, it's fast, you're moving.
Where,
yeah,
you know, you're always involved in it, and you've got to be engaged, you know, pitch by pitch, inning by inning. Baseball's a little bit different as far as, like, the time in between the plays. But you know, you just kind of block that out.
I always wonder, you know, you always, once a year on somewhere in the NHL, you see a player who's in the penalty box or maybe on the
that could bench, be one of the
get mad. Yeah,
you do, because first of all, you're in the penalty box for a reason and you're not happy. That is not the right time for somebody to be yelling at you or, you know, saying something to you.
Right.
And that more often than not, and they've sealed off the penalty boxes a lot better than they were in the past. And you know, the old Mike Milbury into the stands, you know,
right.
There was some crazy stuff that used to happen.
I've always wondered about the people who pound on the glass.
Yeah.
You know, I've just never quite gotten that. Why? Because, yeah, there's a pane of glass separating you from the player. But let's just say somehow that you didn't have that pane of glass protecting you. You wouldn't act like that, right?
No, I don't think so. Especially when you've got somebody who's in the penalty box who, you know, back in the day, they were in the penalty box because there was a real good reason, and they were probably one of the more nastier type of players. Those are not the guys. You know, you get a lot of beer.
Beer plays a big role.
Yeah. You know, when you're banging on the glass and saying something, but you're protected by the glass. Right. And
we
I remember Ty Domi one time. Sorry, Mary. One time, Ty Domi got into with one of the fans, and the partition broke.
Ooh.
And all of a sudden, the fan wasn't so engaged in that whole thing. Like, wait a minute.
I'm going to go get some nachos. I'll be back. I'm going to get out of this seat as quick as possible.
We were at a Cub game when we were little, when Andre Dawson was in right field, and we were right in line with him, right on the wall there. And there were some people that were heckling him, saying, Andre Dawson's mom's so dumb she can't make minute rice. And they kept saying it over and over again. And my sister and I loved him, and we were getting crying because we felt so bad. And we're like, how is he not crying? Because this is so mean.
It's so mean.
But he didn't even turn, not even fazed by the mean heckling, which is ridiculous heckling. I'm not even sure what that is. Not being able to make minute
rice. Yeah, I think you kind of get immune to a lot of this stuff. But sometimes, you know, I mean, everybody has bad days, and, you know, you strike a chord at some point, and, you know, every person in every, you know, aspect, walk of life has that breaking point.
What about the whistle? Do you ever hear the whistling? Because it's kind of quiet in there, and you hear the whistling from the 300 level kind of start.
I mean, you hear those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, you hear boo birds.
But you're also concentrating on your job.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing that you brought up, and I don't know if you know it's my pet peeve, is the guys banging on the glass. I during the game and stuff, you know, that when the puck comes in the corner. And one of the reasons why is you hear it on TV. The ice mics pick up the guys banging on the glass. And I honestly wish that they had signs. They said, anybody bangs on the glass, you're out.
As a player, did you notice it, the banging on the glass?
No. It doesn't even, as a player.
You don't notice it.
When the game's going on, nothing.
But a broadcaster,
But you can hear it on
yeah, you do hear it.
And watching it. Troy Murray, our co-host. Coming up, Chris Chelios, as we are joined by CLTV. Hello, CLTV. We're going to take a quick break, come back, we'll get the news, and then Chelly here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
They kept the puck along the boards. Now it comes free. Here's
the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show now here on its CLTV as well as 720 WGN. The Blackhawks convention starts today. We will have the broadcast Rokan with Anna DeVlantes. We'll have the opening ceremonies, which I believe at 5 o'clock today, but they start the broadcast at 3 o'clock, so we're very excited here. And one of the main attractions for this year's Blackhawks convention is the return of Chris Chelios. Chris Chelios, a longtime Chicago Blackhawk, of course, one of the icons and legends for the franchise, has spent the last couple years somewhere else, and just keep it at that, and is back in Chicago, and he will be featured at the convention. Chris Chelios joins us on the line. Chris, thanks for joining us.
No, you bet, you guys. Thank you.
All right, and our co-host Troy Murray is here as well. I don't know if you guys know each other.
I do remember Troy. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Muzz? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Chelly. First of all, welcome back, Chicago. I know that you're ecstatic about it. Real quickly, kind of give us the process and the rundown of how things unfolded here for you to be in the position to be the newest Blackhawks ambassador.
You know, I've always kept in touch over the years with John McDonough and Rocky Wirtz, and, you know, they always kind of would joke around, well, when you're ready to come back, and, you know, when you come home, obviously come talk to us and we'll see if there's anything we can do and work out. So, you know, I think everybody knows now there's a few articles. My dad passed up about a year and a half ago, and I just decided it's time to come home and help out with mom and, you know, come back home. The kids are all gone, so the timing was perfect to come back. And then again, fortunately, I met with John and they gave me this opportunity to work with Bobby and Tony and Danny Savard. So I've been lucky. The timing's been great, and I'm looking really forward to coming back home and working for the Hawks.
Chris, what kind of reaction have you gotten since the Blackhawks announced this earlier this week?
Well, from Detroit, nothing but, you know, good luck. You know, it seems like that's worn off, that rivalry, the hate, you know, maybe because we haven't played the Hawks and so many, I shouldn't say the Hawks haven't played the Wings for a few years now in the playoffs. And then coming to Chicago, my friends, a lot of texts, a lot of calls, the same thing on the streets, walking the streets. It's been great. And it feels good to be coming back home. It really does. And see all my friends.
So we're sitting here with Troy Murray, who had quite an impressive career that spanned 15 years. But that seems like the average NHL player, I think, plays 5 or 6 years. That seems like nothing compared to what you have done. Do you still wish you were out there?
I do not wish I was out there, but I'm lucky enough that I stayed. I kept working with the team, and I was coaching and in the room and on the ice. So, and then I kind of lived, vicariously through my kids. They played also up at Michigan State, so I kept busy, and I never really thought about it. I played maybe a year or two too long, but like I said, I wanted to leave the game with nothing left in the tank, and I'm pretty sure I did that. So,
Chris, you and I played NCAA hockey together against one another, I should say. You at Wisconsin, I was at North Dakota. I played 15 years, and I think you played another 15 after I played. The connection to the game still, obviously, is a huge part of your family's life. Your daughter is working down with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Eiserman got her the interview, and she'd gone to Northwestern, played lacrosse there with my other daughter, Tara, for 4 years, and we were, put on this earth to be involved in hockey for sure. Boys, girls, everybody. So, I got another daughter just graduated from Northwestern, and she's trying to find her way now, too. So, but yeah, I mean, Jake, my son, just signed with the Wings just recently, and my other son, Dean, is, scouting for the Kings. So, it's a great group of people in the hockey world, and, my kids have loved it, and my dad, you saw the run he had and all the fun he had with our team. So, it's been great.
And don't you have a football player coming into the family, too?
Yeah, I don't know. So far, he's passed the test, but my daughter just got engaged to Danny Vitale. He's a Wheaton kid, great kid. He went to Northwestern. He's playing for the Browns. And that had a little bit of a bearing on my decision, too, that she's going to end up with him. They're going to plan on living in Chicago. I hate being empty-nested, so I'm used to being in control and keeping everybody where I want them, and it's tough now. I got kids all over the globe, so I know you got to let them go, but I'm having a tough time doing it. So
I called Danny's games at Northwestern. Great kid, and now with the Browns, and hope he sticks with them. Chris, what were your emotions like when you were watching the ascendance of the Blackhawks over the last decade from a distance, and watching them hoist those Stanley Cups?
I told everybody at the time, I went to the parade, the first one, and it was amazing. Obviously, I've been a Blackhawk fan my whole life, starting with, late 60s with the great teams with the Hall, and Esposito, and Makita, Maggie. So to see that finally happen was amazing. It was almost as good as winning it, to be honest with you. Unfortunately, I was with the Wings, like you guys said, and, we had our time. We won a few cups there, but that scene in the park and the stage and, the familiar faces was amazing.
Chris, for you to be back for the Blackhawks convention, which of course starts today, there's a lot made of the rivalry between the Red Wings and the Blackhawks, and I think you had a lot to do with that as a renowned, beloved Blackhawk to move to the Red Wings. That sort of put some gasoline on the fire. But for you to come back and be in front of the Blackhawks fans today and to be introduced as a Blackhawks ambassador, what does that mean to you? What are you at all scared about what the the reception might be?
No, I mean, at the beginning, obviously, I think at this point, like I said, walking on the streets and I've been in Chicago a lot over the past 19 years. It's so close to commute. So at first, I took a lot of heat on the street, obviously in the United Center. But I think age and time and the success the Hawks have had, it's kind of the fans. Right now, they're at peace. They've had a great run. They've got a great team. Unfortunately, last year missing the playoffs, but I think it happened to Boston. It happened to Tampa. And I think they're going to be right back on top again this year. It just was one of those years where, things didn't go right for them. And it's going to be fun watching these guys. I've enjoyed watching this team you know, with all the great young players they have and the skill.
Chris, you've been involved with the game in so many different capacities with the NHL and coaching at different levels. As you step back and take a little bit of a different role with the Blackhawks as an ambassador, how hard will it be for you to sit back and watch what's going on rather than being involved in some of the process of making decisions?
You know, when my first 2 years out, I mirrored Kenny Holland, the GM, and I wasn't detached enough from my teammates to make those hard decisions behind closed doors. I didn't enjoy it. Then I went into, you know, player development, which was probably my favorite thing, just going to Grand Rapids and teaching the young kids, bringing the young defensemen along. It comes down to the grind, you know, the scheduling. And the best thing other than playing is coaching. You're in the room, you're on the ice. I just can't commit to the grind. You know, I've been lucky enough that the Wings let me do it part-time, home games only. But this ambassador position allows me that freedom. You know, I played so long, I missed out on a lot with family and my kids' events. So this is a position I've found now that I really enjoy. It gives me the luxury of, you know, if something does come up personally, you know, John McDonough and Rocky Wirtz are allowing me to do that. So I'm not ruling out coaching. I love coaching the Olympic team, tournaments. It's just short term. But I do love coaching, and maybe down the line somewhere, you know, if I want to jump into it again, that would be what, you know, I'd choose.
Well, our last question, and this is the one I think that's on everybody's mind, is now that you're back in town, does that mean Chelly's Chili is back? Or are we going to see you back in the restaurant game, opening up in the West Loop?
It is in the making, and I might have found a location already, but I think we're going Mexican. We're going to call it Chili's Cantina.
There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
I'm all in love with Mexican food, so I'll let you know.
All right. sign me up. I'll be there.
Yeah, breaking news right there.
You got it, guys.
Chris Chelios, Blackhawks ambassador, who will be at the Blackhawks convention starting today. Chris, can't thank you enough for taking some time out, and awesome to have you back in Chicago.
Thanks, you guys. Take care.
How about that, huh? How cool is that?
He is one of the best guys you'll ever meet in hockey. I mean, and he is, as he said, hockey has been his family's life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that, and I've told this story before, he used to drive around Chicago in the summers, and he would have his hockey gear in his trunk, and he would pop into the local rinks that he knew, and he would jump on the ice and play in men's leagues, and guys would be on the ice, and they're going, Jay, that kind of looks like Chris Chelios. And goes, wait a minute. That is Chris Chelios. He was a rad hockey, you know, nut. He loved it, and the passion never stopped inside him. He still loves the game. You know, he wanted to play the game for every city. He may have played a couple more years or a couple years past where he should have. But at the same time, he had that passion. He loves
it. And it's obvious.
He loves the game.
Response by fans, Red Wings fans as well, mm-hmm. to see how they've embraced him as well. I mean, it's obvious that he everything that you just said is accurate.
Yeah, and he was always a huge workout guy, right? I mean, he was like a fanatic.
Honestly, a freak of nature as far, you know, they talk about Duncan Keith being that kind of guy now. Chelly was that guy back in the day. And
Riding the bike in the sauna. I think that's always the famous thing.
With a sweatjacket on. That's what he would do after practice. I mean, the guy was crazy. I mean, you know, he liked to have fun, mm-hmm. and he'd come and he'd be the hardest working guy, and he'd be the first guy in line to do all the drills. Really amazing. And he had a place out in Malibu, and he started training differently, kind of a cross-training type of thing before anybody was doing that with the trainer out in California. I mean, just a very, very unique individual. Love the guy.
He's Cochran's inspiration,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, he is.
Steve now,
I can see that.
That's
right. Troy Murray, our co-host today here on 720 WGN on the Cochran Show.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
And coming up, very excited about this, the performance studio. We have a brand new performance studio in this building. It's our new studio. We've been talking about our new studios for a while, but we will be using it for the first time on the show. Sir the Baptist, great Chicago artist, hip-hop gospel. And Sir the Baptist has done everything from Lollapalooza to opening up for Beyonce.
Very inspiring.
Very inspiring music and a tremendous message. And excited to have Sir the Baptist and church people in our performance. So it's not just him. He's brought his choir. If you look through the glass here and you see just a humanity, a sea of humanity as people are getting ready for this performance. Very excited.
I know Steve Cochran is really bummed he's going to miss it because this is his kind of music. One thing behind the scenes that I like about them is they've been here since 8 a.m. getting ready. A lot of times these musicians are slackers and you're waiting. They've got a 9:10 segment and they're rolling up at 8:55. But this crew was here and ready and they've been sound checking. So
we'll talk with Sir the Baptist and we'll get live music from Sir the Baptist and church people coming up here on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Stepping up for Steve today, Justin Kaufman, Mary Sandberg's here, Vandevelt as well, Steve Grzanich, Dave Ennett. 312-981-7200 phone number. We are both on 720 WGN and CLTV. Well, our inaugural run in our new performance studio starts now, and what a fitting way to baptize the studio. Chicago's Sir the Baptist is a hip-hop gospel artist who's playing at Wicker Park Fest tomorrow night. Sir the Baptist grew up in his father's church on the south side of Chicago, learning music in the church choir and from his family. He put out his critically acclaimed album last year called Saint or Sinner on Atlantic Records. His awesome song, Raise Hell, it's a great song. It was featured in the film The Birth of a Nation. The hip-hop chaplain, Sir the Baptist, and his choir, Church People, are here in our performance studio. They are here live, and they are ready to perform. Here is the song We Workin'. Take it away.
Welcome to WGN Missionary Baptist Church, where our guest speaker today is Sir the Baptist. Along with his congregation, we will be selling 50 dinners immediately after. Whatever you do.
If I was born stupid rich, I would be at the loop. I would think common people could only rap in cheroops. Get stuck on sticky icky, then stick to you just like glue. Instead of pivot pyramids, hoping I find the truth. ATL's cheaper, but homie don't have a clue. Pack it up in a U-Haul, but homie just made a move. Reverse migration, Louis would not approve. But you want that Louis bag and then make that
Let
business
it go.
Not having it all taught me
everything. I need to get time, go.
Spend my money, but I wouldn't change a thing. Cause it's better when we work for
I see you.
Yeah, man, we work for
I see you, man.
This is how we work for This is for the ones that put a work
come on, come on.
We work it back, we work it back.
On the grind, we just work it.
What you doing? What you doing?
That's work
it. If I was a Kardashian, I would be out the loop. I would think being urban with hoodies and big hoops. I have my PR to give Wendy Williams the scoop. Then how you paparazzi to keep y'all all in the loop?
Stay on your feet and the
homie don't have a clue. Fake accountants, hackers, post up my every
move
on every screen of yours, and you don't have to.
This one's for you, Chris.
Louis bag,
here we go. One, two, three.
Got having it all taught me everything.
Church people. Y'all gotta give it to me. Here we go, let's go.
It's better when you work.
Come on, work.
Yeah, man, work.
Keep
for work. This is how we work.
Keep
for it.
But they just want us to keep it. We put in work, boy. All we have to do is put in work, boy. Watching it go on TV and childishly shoot my homie. Since your conscious, and you just ain't even on me. All this social stuff got you feeling like you just know me. But you don't know.
All we ever do is work.
One for
Ella Fitzgerald.
Yes, yes. What a tremendous performance. Sir the Baptist in our new performance studio, live with church people, the song We Workin'. Of course, tremendous, tremendous artist from the Bronzeville area, Chicago, who has done everything from putting out his debut album on Atlantic Records, Saint or Sinner, as well as, playing Lollapalooza, opening for Beyonce. We're going to have more live music here on 720 WGN on the Steve Cochran Show. Say she gonna lose. 720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show here. Justin Kaufman stepping up for Steve today. He's back on Tuesday. We are in, I'm blown away by the music that's in our new performance studio. Sir the Baptist and church people are here. Sir the Baptist, tremendous, tremendous artist who's playing the Wicker Park Fest tomorrow, Saturday night headlining. His debut album, Saint or Sinner, on Atlantic Records. He's done everything from playing Lollapalooza to opening for Beyonce and everything in between. This dude is a tremendous, tremendous artist here from the city of Chicago. Grew up in the Bronzeville neighborhood in the church there. Here we go. Let's hear some more music live in our performance studio. Here is Sir the Baptist with the choir Church People and the song What We Got. Take it away.
Yeah. Ready? Yeah. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Hold your head.
If I could be anything, I want to be the good engine in the hood, yeah. I can show you anything. I'll show you that I would want to do.
See the propaganda, propaganda.
Got my youngins throwing tantrums, talking bad, packing chimneys.
And I ain't really talking center.
Rarely see white beats, they usually die before 15. World star, Dino, with their favorite rapper,
won't claim.
Slate.
What we got?
No, we ain't got much.
Come on.
What we got?
Well, maybe you should
save up your pennies.
I say, no, I see Bentleys writing in something pretty. She say, maybe you should name your hootie. I'm doing donuts and a lemon on a spread. Yeah. Trapping for what I ain't got. Grateful and down to share. Cause it ain't no fun when the homies can't come. So we pack like sardines, Richard Ford, just shake. Here we go, here we go.
No, we ain't got love. No, we ain't got mine.
Let's go for it.
Let's go for it.
No matter what you got,
it's the will for the bus.
Let's go for it.
Hey, let's go for it. What we got?
Why? Teach them something.
If we're faithful over few things,
be faithful over the small things you get.
The Lord, the
and the world is going to give you so much more.
This is what we got.
We're going to get so much
this
more.
This is what we got.
Here we go.
What we got.
See my Joe Bishop for Uncle Joe Jeff for nephew and with Zaza transmission gone. Fresh with Jeffrey and Marcus shoes on. Patent leather concourse telling the kids it's from the Jordan's home. Sorry, John, I saw those Jordans for lunch Monday. I was wearing Stacey Adams looking so Easter Sunday. Keisha was Sunday's bunny. When you make it, they act funny. Wanna know your true friends, then act like you ain't got money.
Oh,
this by the homies, this can be wrong.
No matter who you are and what you got, hold on to it and build up more.
Yeah.
Because greatness is coming. Be blessed.
Yes, how about that? There it is. Sir the Baptist, there we go. A little, there you go, some applause that we've thrown in as well. Sir the Baptist and Church People, that performance of the song What We Got. Sir the Baptist coming in studio. We'll talk to him for a second, then we'll get one more song out of him before we get to Bill and Wendy here. Amazing performance in our performance studio. Sir the Baptist and Church People. But first, let's get the last break in, and we will come back and talk to him live and also get one more song here on 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN, Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. Sir the Baptist and Church People in our performance studio. The first performance we've had. You baptized it, Sir the Baptist. Sir the Baptist, the album last year, A Saint or Sinner, on Atlantic Records, critically acclaimed, great album.
Thank you, man.
And it's great to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I've been talking you up the entire day to everybody on the show, but it is a true church background for you to come in. You grew up in the church. Talk about what that means to you as a musician.
You know what? It means the world, because we actually got more instrumentation than anything. You know, I was sitting down with Stevie Wonder, and he said he spent most of his time in the church, and once he took his music outside of church, you know, he couldn't necessarily bring it back, but the instrumentation and the singing that he got from the church, he took it and he went around the world with it. You know, same with James Brown, same with Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, all of these people had that church background. So it means a lot to me, because the instrumentation, the real musicians, they come from the church.
The message in, you know, gospel music rarely finds a way to cross over, to find a way. But with the music that you're doing and being a blend of gospel and hip hop, you haven't had that issue. I've seen you on, like we were just talking about, Lollapalooza and on. Why do you think that is? What is it about your music that may be more crossoverable, if you will, than traditional gospel music?
You know what? Because I think gospel music has been limited to just speaking about one faith, right? So it's just Christian music, but the gospel is the good news. So I've gotten a chance to I have a new artist that I'm breaking, the Gospel of Islam, the Gospel of Israel, like these different artists that are coming together from different faiths on the same page and creating a bigger voice. So that's one thing. It's always been about one faith, the limitations on humans, you know, LGBT community and all of that sort of stuff. So I'm able to shift that and talk about economics, talk about love, talk about building your community, talk about how you feel when you don't feel like you're God's greatest gift. You know what I mean? So, and that's why people like, you know, Nelly, I opened up for Beyonce, Jay-Z has thrown me a lot of bones, you know. So like, these people are showing me love because they've given me an opportunity to take holistic healing to hip hop in that way.
Yeah.
So it's more.
Well, you know, I think the world of you. I've enjoyed your music, and
man,
I always
you,
enjoy talking to you. You've got you're playing Wicker Park Fest tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's get one more song in before Bill and Wendy have been gracious enough to skip the crosstalk, so we can get one more song with you. What are we going to hear here?
You know what? This is going to be Deliver Me, and I'm just going to have Lady Chris sing a little bit of it. Lady Chris is the Aretha Franklin of church people, and awesome. She's going to sing a little bit of it, and then, you know,
awesome.
We'll get back.
Sir the Baptist and Church People in our performance studio. Tremendous, tremendous artist from Bronzeville, who, of course, has the album Saint or Sinner on Atlantic Records and is playing the Wicker Park Fest tomorrow, Saturday.
And Sir the Baptist did On the Couch with Miles Kaufman, which is already at WGMRadio.com.
Miles has been busy. He got an interview.
And one of the highlights was Sir said he really enjoys reading, and he's trying to get more rappers to to read, and I think that could apply to everybody. Should be doing more
The Steve
reading.
Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN. Chicago smart speaker users just say play WGN radio and tune in. All right, one last track. Here is Sir the Baptist with Church People in our performance studio here on 720 WGN. Take it away.
In a time when there's so many women suffering from, you know, domestic violence, here's a song for you, Lakers. Sing just a little bit of it.
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all they seem to do is hurt me. Deliver me, 'cause all they seem to do is hurt me, yeah.
You hate me, but you really love me. When you ball it up inside, it creates tornadoes in your tummy. Energy sparks emotions, emoted by lots of pressure. Hatred is a small gesture, yes, so you nonsense over this nonsense. Friends should just be friends, but it's hard to tell your conscience. Hurt by the pain, but you gotta move on, love. Do what you can do, baby. Lady Chris said,
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all they seem to do is hurt me.
One more time, and take him to church. You ready?
There's so many people suffering in the world, from human trafficking to just violence in the home. We hope that this can help heal the hurt that's inside of you. In order to change the world, we must first change our home, change how we love each other. Lady Chris, I love you.
I love you.
Tremendous. Thank you so much, Sir the Baptist, Lady Chris, church people. There's that applause, Joe. A tremendous performance. They will be at the Wicker Park Fest in Wicker Park tomorrow, headlining. What a great way to baptize the performance studio here at 720 WGN. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Troy Murray for co-hosting. He'll be at the Blackhawks convention. You can listen. We're starting at 3:00 with Roe and Anna coming up here on 720 WGN.